Warning, the views and opinions expressed on the show are those and solely those of the hosts and in no way represent the station from which they broadcast from, nor the DJs with whom they work with.
Alrighty then.
But by listening, you will be enlightened by a different brand of useless information.
Bazinga.
And very modest hilarity.
And that's the bottom line.
It's time to hear from the other guys.
I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly.
What's up, everybody?
What am I supposed to do when Joe's not here?
Yeah. That red.
Is that right?
Do you want to keep this?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Just go with it.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this week's episode.
There you go. Now do yours.
Oh, we're so discombobulated without Joe
here. One of those days, man.
It has been. But thank you again, everyone, for tuning in to this week's episode of The Other Guys Podcast. I'm Baby Huey, and that over there is Chasta.
Hello there.
And sitting right next to her is the amazing Bimbo Jimbo.
Let's get it going.
And yeah, Joe Hawk is MIA once again. He has some family stuff to deal with today, which totally needs to go handle that.
We can't rag on him today. We're going to be nice.
Yes. So, but we do miss you, Joe, today.
Yes.
So
today only.
But he should be back hopefully next episode. Yes. But yeah, sorry everyone. It's been busy a couple weeks once again, so lack of episodes. I guess almost a month since our last one, but
really long. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, when intern Stephanie was hanging out with us. And then, because then,
You and I, you and Chas have recorded stuff.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, we did some interviews with Five Finger Death Punch, Shinedown, Jimbo, you and I interviewed Dig from Arrow, David Ramsey, and we had our Civil War review. So go ahead, by all means, listen back to those previous episodes if you have not yet already at 1077thebone.com. But a lot of stuff to talk about, and of course, everyone right now is talking about our Golden State Warriors and Jimbo.
Lordy. Yeah.
Yeah, Jimbo is our resident.
Our correspondent.
Yes, our representative at each and every game. You are a member of the Warriors staff. And
damn right.
As of right now, it is tied 1-1 for the Western Conference Finals. So Jimbo, I want to get your take on just the atmosphere, because I think it's important, I think, for fans of the podcast just know just how awesome these Warrior games have been going so far. So the last game, Warriors blew them out after a guess.
Oh, it's great. We needed that one.
Exactly. So how was the atmosphere?
As far as the atmosphere, I mean, it's been great. I mean, Oracle Arena is, you know, pretty universally accepted as the best arena, you know, best fans in basketball. Yes. You know, they're the loudest through the lean years, and now through the, you know, the great times here in Golden State, they've always been the loudest fans in the Bay Area. So, I mean, the arena's been great, and they're smart basketball fans too. And I mean, so it's been loud as hell. Like, I'll text like Ted, because I produce for Ted Ramey's show. I'll text him. I was like, it is really bleeping loud in here right now. One thing I will say though, one little critique of the fans has popped up is that so in game two, MVP and god of basketball, Steph Curry, sort of took a tumble into the stands.
I heard about this. Were you nervous as all?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anytime you're MVP, you know, you gotta look at those commodities like they're glass cannons.
Especially who's been injured lately.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? So he took a pretty big spill into the stands. None of the fans, though, kind of stepped up to the plate and caught him.
That's
if they
true.
Were bone listeners, I feel like they would have caught him. Oh, yeah. And
they would have stolen him and
surfing.
Ran out of the arena.
Look what I got.
Exactly. Souvenir. Yeah.
So they clearly were not 107.7 The Bone listeners, but they should have caught Steph Curry, because he ended up with a huge knob on his elbow, just swelling up. Mm. But, I mean, it worked for him because he went off in the third quarter. But
didn't he score like 15 points in less than two minutes?
He scored 15 straight points in less than 2 minutes. It was absurd.
So we agree he's not human. Right.
He's not human. In fact, I've taken in my updates for Ted's show, I call him Game Genie.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like old school, like when you had before cheat codes, you would plug in the Game Genie.
Yes!
And then you could just like do all the cheats and everything like that, and you could control the game essentially. And that's
the Game Genie.
Was that the attachment you added onto your console?
Yes.
Or to the game itself?
To the game.
Yeah. And then you put your game inside the attachment and then put that inside the console.
Correct.
I remember, right? Yeah, okay, I remember.
Yes.
I used to see those on the back of like magazines and comic books. I was like, oh, I want this.
Yeah, so it was like the way, like if there was something you couldn't get by, like if you couldn't beat Mike Tyson and punch out, you'd have to use the Game Genie.
Nice.
And so that's how I view Steph Curry, is he is that damn good. That
you
he
are
is
so
the,
clever.
He's the Game
oh,
Genie.
Man,
I love it.
That is awesome. Well, no, it's just funny. I also want to bring it up, Jazz. I don't know if you saw this. So Jimbo, During the course of the game, you're up at the radio broadcast, which is, you have like, I think the best view of the court because you're like elevated from the crowd, but you're looking right down.
Sensation.
Yes, exactly. But then like the last, was it 2 minutes? You're down on the court.
I go courtside in the fourth quarter because they do the walk-off interviews. So I get the post-game guests from PR to get set up with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert for the post-game interview. So yeah, I'll be sitting right behind the Warriors bench for the last couple minutes. So that's why my mug sometimes will pop up.
Oh, you're always on TV. Because you're famous.
Yeah, because they're zooming in on Steve Kerr or the players. And so just that was a Game one,
yeah.
Jimbo's sitting there, and Tonelli's the one who noticed this.
Yeah.
The guy sitting right next to him was picking his nose.
Oh my God.
I didn't notice that.
No. Because the angle, I mean, he's in front of you. But that was funny. And then I guess David Aldridge was right there. So you're just surrounded by a sea of celebrities. Had there been a lot of celebrities there? I mean, as far as Lee's been there.
David Lee was there. Andre Ward was there. What was cool for me, and I had to sort of, because you got to keep it professional and everything like that. I'm at work. But I think out of everyone that's come to the games, because I didn't know he was there, but I'm walking into the players' tunnel, Larry David, who wrote Seinfeld did Curb, was in there, and I'm like, oh my God. And I'm a huge Seinfeld nerd.
So Bernie Sanders
He does Bernie Sanders on SNL now. Like, I was like, dude, that's Larry David. That's awesome. And he's a huge basketball fan, so I shouldn't have been so surprised. But yeah, that was cool. My brush with the greatness of Larry David. And now it's cool, too, because TNT's doing all the games for the Western Conference Finals. Yeah. So like just seeing Shaq and Barkley around, stuff like that, and like Kenny Smith and stuff. Like, and when I, during the game, like the first game, I was like sitting right next to where their studio was all set up and stuff, too. So it's very surreal. But Larry David was a big thrill.
Can I just tell you my Larry David story since you'll appreciate it?
Yeah.
I actually had road rage on me in Los Angeles and flipped me off. It was one of the coolest moments of my life.
That's amazing.
I was like, oh my God, that is Larry David.
That's better than an autograph.
It was totally. I mean, unfortunately, I couldn't take a picture because I was driving and it was fast. But I was I was at a red light. Oh God, it was, I still live there. So like 2007, 2008.
Were you still helping out with the Shireling at this point in time?
I was done with the Shireling at this point. Yes. I had moved on from the Shire. But I was at a red light and it was one of those where like, it doesn't have a turn signal. So you kind of have to like go when you can go. And I missed it. And he was behind me and mad. And I look at my rearview mirror and I see it's Larry David. And he's giving me the biggest bird ever. I'm like, holy crap. I was so excited. I'm sure that ticked him off even more. Because I was like, hey, all excited.
We should look back if he used that as inspiration for a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
I know, right?
Oh, that's tremendous.
That would be amazing. So, yeah, that was one of the highlights of my life, getting flipped off by Larry David.
That's awesome.
That is such an L.A. story. That
story
doesn't happen very
often. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Oh, that's great. So, Jimbo, keep having fun out there, and please report to us any other fun sightings you see. So I guess
please
good.
Remember us whenever you're super duper famous from being on television every week.
Well, the next couple games are going to be down in Oklahoma City. Oh yeah, Chasta's home state.
I've been getting all kinds of shade for being from Oklahoma City, even though I don't care at all about this stuff. But.
Well, because when the Thunder came in, you were already out of state.
Yeah. Oh,
so you didn't
yeah.
grow up with basketball.
Yeah.
No, and we didn't have the Thunder.
Yeah. So if anything, you've been around.
Okay, again, this is stupid ignorance on my part, but wasn't the Thunder the Jazz?
No, they were the Seattle Supersonics.
Seattle Supersonics. Yeah. Sonics. That's what I meant. See, I knew what I was talking about the whole time.
Yeah, so they moved.
Yeah, the Thunder's only been there for, 5 years or something like that.
I think it's been like 10 years now.
Has it been 10 years that long?
Eight to 10
well, I haven't
years,
been
something
in
like that.
Oklahoma.
Kevin Durant. He got drafted by the Supersonics, but they moved.
Yeah,
and
after.
So his rookie season was in OKC, if I remember correctly.
How do you guys remember this stuff? It just blows me away.
He didn't have one season in Seattle?
Or did he have one season? I can't remember.
I'd have to go back and look. But, it hasn't been that long.
Yeah. We need a stat boy.
But it looks like 2008.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, that's right. Yeah, 8 years. So
yeah,
that's
so
cool.
Close to that.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, you're definitely more, I think, Warriors-based.
Oh, for sure.
In your personal lifetime.
Of course. Yeah, I'm... Go Warriors every time.
Absolutely. So, no, just good luck to the Warriors. They got two more in OKC, and hopefully they can just, hopefully by the next time we do an episode, we have some more good news to talk about in the Warriors. So, fingers crossed on that. So, but also, Jess and I, we had a busy weekend last weekend. I just want to touch on this because just how awesome of a night it was.
And how much we love Joe Coy.
Exactly. So, this past Saturday night, we all met up and went to the San Jose Improv down San Jose.
Which is like a tradition. We've done this, three or four times?
In a row.
Yeah.
So, Joe Coy, who's become a great friend of the show, awesome comedian. He's probably one of the more popular active comedians going right now.
Oh, for sure.
Because every
time he sells out every show he plays.
And he does two weekends in a row at the various Bay Area clubs when he kind of just rolls through all of them throughout the year. So he does two weekends in a row. And yeah, for the last 3 years, we've been going down there around May. I know it's around Mother's Day weekend or before or after. And so, yeah, we went down there and it was just a lot of fun. It was myself, you and Jay, Joe, and his lady.
His lady.
Yes. And so it was fun. So thank you to Human.
Human.
Who took care of us. And the whole staff there at Sounds of the Improv was very nice.
And it's, can I just say, like, I mean, I love San Francisco, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Even though it takes us 45 minutes to drive from my house to San Jose, I would rather do that because there's parking.
Yes.
It's, you can get around in downtown San Jose. Yeah. Like, you know, in San Francisco, it's such a bitch to find any sort of like parking or anything. It's awful.
But then also the great thing is just Joe, when he saw us walking out.
Yeah, he always grabs us.
Grabs us. And I feel bad because we're cutting the line.
Yeah.
But he made us jump up and we all took pictures and gave us t-shirts and everything. So it was just a lot of fun. So thank you to Joe. And Lance is
his
buddy. Yeah, Lance Patrick, who took care of us and just was very nice talking to us. And like I said, the whole staff at Sounds of Improv is awesome. So we'll love to do more stuff with them down the road, hang out with them. And just,
Joe has kind of promised he would come on the podcast,
He did, because he did launch his own podcast called The Koi Pond on Adam Carolla's
network. Well, I like that.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Very clever.
So he just launched that on Adam Carolla's podcast network.
Awesome.
And so that's a good guy to just pick his brain about podcast stuff.
Yeah.
And I asked him in person. I was like, hey, you want to do a podcast episode with us? He's like, yes, he would love to. So hopefully, I'm guessing next time
he's in town.
In the next few months, we'll just set aside some time for him to come in. So
yeah,
it was a lot of fun. But speaking of comedy, so last night I went and saw Adam Sandler last
night. How was that? Because it's been a hot minute since Adam Sandler's been on stage doing stand-up.
Honestly.
Be honest, because I'm really curious.
I mean, I think at this point in my age, maybe I'm just becoming, even when it comes to like movie reviews and stuff, I'm becoming a little more critical things.
He's a professional critic now.
I think so.
Yes.
You're suffering from what I suffer from now, too.
What's that?
You can't just, like, enjoy something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You watch it for work purposes now.
Yeah.
I know.
It's true.
I hate that.
It was, honestly, a little underwhelming.
Really?
Like, I
the whole
you
thing?
You mean he's failed to develop as a comic?
I think he peaked about 10 years ago.
Yeah. And so, here's a little backstory. So, Smelly had tickets. He asked me to go with him. I was like, sure, make it a guy's night out.
Right.
So he texts me, when you come in, I said, I'll be there in a bit. So he tells me, come to his hotel. He's staying at a hotel. It's the same one he stayed at Super Bowl. So he knows the area. So he says, meet me at my place at 7. I'm like, okay. I was thinking, well, Bill Graham Civic is right by BART. So instead of driving, I'll just take BART in.
Yeah.
So I take BART and then I pull up the address for his hotel. And I realize it's literally the BART stop, Bill Graham Civic, City Hall, his hotel's right around the corner. So I was like, oh, it's less than a 10-minute walk. So I walk over there, but he also texts me in advance and says, hey, I got some Four Loko we can share.
Oh,
I'm like, wow, Four Loko.
He's ready to tie one on.
A bad decision.
Isn't it? That sounds like a terrible
decision.
Then
he told me, get some Mike's Hard Lemonade. I'm like, okay. But since
what?
I took
what?
I know, right? These are hardcore partiers
you
right here.
You gotta ask Smelly, about his booze selection.
Smelly is 18-year-old Jimbo right now. What the hell is going on?
I'm
like, good on you, man. If you want to rediscover your youth, you know.
Well, I think he's doing that right now.
High schoolers?
Probably.
So,
good Lord,
he texts
on you, buddy.
Well, he texts me and says, pick it up. And I'm like, okay. But then I realize I'm jumping on BART. And I don't want to be walking around with booze in my pocket or bag.
Especially Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Yeah. If you're going to get busted, you don't want to get busted with that.
Right, exactly.
So I get there and then I'm walking. And so I walk past City Hall and I walk to his hotel and I find it. And so I go upstairs. The hotel he stayed at, it's called the Inn Opera or something, right there on Fulton Street. It's like literally on the backside of City Hall. Mm-hmm. And so this is an old hotel. The hallways are really small, and the elevator is like really small. I felt kind of crunched. And so it's the kind you had to wait for the door or for the elevator to come down, then you can open the door.
Oh, wow.
And get in. So I go up there, Smelly's all, hey, like, let's, hey,
he's ready to party with his Mike's Hard Lemonade.
He's like, hey, dude. And then first thing he said.
Now, were they original flavored or were they like the red ones?
It was a red one.
Oh, nice.
I didn't even know they made flavors.
Oh, yeah.
I am like the most manly guy in the room right now. I mean, seriously, I only drink IPAs.
Look at Lottie, freaking dog.
And moonshine while I'm pregnant, obviously.
Remind me, I got a good story about we just referenced. So okay. that was a big part of the night last night. So, but I first thing Smelly said to me though, dude, where's the Mike's Hard Lemonade? And I was like, I was on bar. I'm not going to walk around with booze in my pocket. And he's like, there's a liquor store right around the corner. Go get some.
Oh, my God.
I was like, you're not going to let me in if I don't have Mike's Hard Lemonade?
He's ready to get turned up.
I know.
So he literally.
I think that's how you say it.
It is. I'm pretty sure. Right. Turned up.
So literally, he told me where to go. So I'm like, all right, I'll go. Because I know it's his night out. So I'm like, okay. So I go to the liquor store and I buy.
Are they out of Zima?
Now that I know from high school for sure.
So I buy two flavors. I buy like this cherry lemonade and like some orange ones. I get them. I'm walking back. And so then we go upstairs and then he gets the hotel glasses. Like,
which you should never touch, by the way. That's a whole nother story.
Oh,
they've done a 60 minutes on
yes.
how dirty those are.
Oh,
you pretty much have a disease now, but go ahead.
I feel sick now. Oh, my God. So anyway, we start busting out the Four Loko and drinking and talking about stuff. And then he's like, we better hurry. We got to pound these.
Oh, like, my God.
His verbatim was just making me funny. Just like, we got to pound these. Hurry up and get over there. And so we start drinking the Mike's Hard Lemonade. And all of a sudden, I realize it's like past 8 o'clock. The show started at 8. And he's like, well, we should take an Uber over there. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, you know it's just right around the corner. We can walk there. He's like, no, I remember I stayed here before during Super Bowl, and that's a pretty long walk. I'm like, but I just walked past it from Bart, and it is literally around the corner. He's like, well, Uber's just $6. I'm like, you can save the $6.
Yeah.
Like, buy some mics with that money.
Right? No
I know.
Kidding.
But so anyway, we finished drinking them, and it's like 8:30 at this point. I'm like, we got to hurry up. And so we're waiting in the lobby for an Uber, and I'm thinking, the amount of time we're waiting – we could just start walking, be there already. But anyway, this van pulls up with a guy, and like the driver and some person, the passenger. He got the carpool option.
Oh,
one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Uber pool.
Yeah, Uber pool. See, Jimbo, you know about that. So literally he starts driving us and we make a right. And I see Bill Graham right down the street. But the guy's like, I got to I won't. I can't do it accurate, but it's like, we got to follow the map. And so,
you follow the map?
And so literally, you drove around like two blocks, a back around, and then dropped us off in the front. I was like, this turned into like another 15, 20 minute ordeal. And he was worried about Uber, though, with your guys' Chicago incident.
We had a bad Uber experience.
So we finally get in, and all of a sudden, Rob Schneider was emceeing, but he was like doing some stand up as well. And then he introduced David Spade. And it's funny, David Spade did a lot of jokes that we saw already, Jimbo.
Yeah,
you
like
and I, at the improv.
We sort of suspected that he was trying some stuff out.
And he did some jokes that I heard in his interview with Howard Stern last week. So I kind of knew everything he was talking about already. And then Rob Schneider.
I like David Spade, though.
Yeah, so then he came out. Rob Schneider came back out and introduced Adam Sandler. So I guess we missed Nick Swardson, who was also opening. But then, so Adam Sandler performs. He did about an hour, but it got a little tiring. Was he would do like a funny 2 minute story about being an adult, grown up, a parent, and then he would go into like one of his wacky songs, lullaby, dirty lullaby song, you know, all that. And like literally Smelly's like, I think he could have done a double album of songs. It was like 30 songs. And then finally, like,
he did that many songs.
It felt like it literally. Like, and the thing was, he kept looking at a teleprompter the whole time. He was like looking down. So I'm watching on the screen, and it's just he's like looks at the crowd and he's looking down. So I don't know if he was just, it felt like he was kind of going through the motions a little bit. But even the songs, after a while, I was like, just do some jokes, some material, not just voices.
There's only so much of that I can handle with Sandler.
Exactly. So I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, I checked out a while ago on
Sandler. Yeah, I did too. Yeah.
We were both getting kind of tired because it was like 10 o'clock, and I was like, I'm kind of thinking I can maybe sneak out of here. He did the Hanukkah song, but he did an updated version with current people.
Yeah.
And then I did a great tribute song to Chris Farley. And that actually, it was really good. I hope he records it, maybe releases it.
Cause
just the stories about Chris. And it was actually really well done. He does a cool little solo for him. And then what's the other big song he does?
Is it weird? I like Adam Sandler's more serious stuff now than I do his comedy. Like when he did, now it was sort of a comedy. Funny People they did with Seth Rogen. Like he's not very funny in that, but it's kind of a more serious. It's about
heavier,
comedians,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that was really good.
Yeah.
But I liked Punch Drunk Love and stuff like that. But his comedy, you know, the Grown Ups series,
all his
'90s
stuff. Like when we got into this sounds terrible, especially me being almost about to pop with a baby. When he became a parent, he became unfunny to me. Like, he went too safe zone. He went too corny. He went too cheesy.
Yeah.
And all of those great movies that he had in the 90s were gone.
That's what a lot of his stand-up was last night. It was, like, dirty, raunchy, like, parent jokes about his kids and his parents and all. It just got a little tiring. And then at the end, he brought everyone out, and Norm Macdonald came out. And I guess Norm Macdonald did a surprise appearance as well.
Okay.
So, and they tried to ask audience questions, but that didn't go so well because the lady was like, "Can I just get a picture with you?"
Oh,
they weren't asking real questions. Someone was like, "When's Grown Ups 3 coming out?" And I was like,
"Why would you ask that?"
Exactly. Like, didn't you see Grown Ups 2?
Why would you wish that on anyone?
Yeah. So
those are the kind of movies I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They just do fall flat now.
Yeah. So it was done by 11. I took Bart home. But anyway, it's just, I don't know. It just felt kind of like he was kind of going through the motions a little bit, just kind of banking on his name a little bit. So, oh, well. But, yeah. So, anyway, like I said.
That's too bad, but I'm not totally surprised if I'm
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know if, I'm glad the tickets were free.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so on that note, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, so we shouldn't jump right into it with Joe not being here. I'll just go ahead and read our weekly news, other news with the other guys. And there's just so much goofy stuff out there. It's crazy. Just for the listeners out there, there's just a lot of stuff to filter through. So I just found a couple odd stories that I think could be fun, goofy to talk about. So the first one, so imagine this guy. So there's a guy who's named Jake Booth. He's a 35-year-old Army vet and former sheriff's deputy. He was hospitalized back in February with a bad case of bronchitis that turned into double... Is it pneumonia?
Mm-hmm.
Did
pneumonia.
I say it right?
Not ammonia.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Right.
I've been practicing. Days later, he suffered a heart attack and was put in a medically induced coma. 48 days later, so this is April 3rd, he finally woke up. His first words, "I want Taco Bell."
God bless him.
Yeah, so
God bless his heart.
Here's the catch, though. Unfortunately, it would be 22 more days until he was strong enough to eat solid food. But he did celebrate it by chowing down. What do you think he would get from Taco Bell, Jimbo?
Well, hopefully not the quesalupa.
That was talk about a letdown.
That was a disappointment. I would hope like a gordita supreme, maybe some nachos.
Chasta.
Big burrito of some sort, I would think. Be filling.
It was 8.5. I don't know how he got half.
Did maybe he just get
finish.
Full?
Finish it, yeah.
8.5 crunchy tacos.
Wow, just he went old school.
He did go. Yeah,
that's my dad's
Taco
like
Bell.
That. He likes the crunchy tacos
that's
from Taco
Jay
Bell.
That's what Jay does, too. He just gets tacos. I'm like, really? Like, we can make those at home.
Spice it up, yeah.
I know. I guess
think outside the bun.
Yeah.
So with that, after I read this, it just made me think. So if you guys were in a coma for 48 days, what would be your first meal that you would want to eat? Chasta.
Okay, well, I mean, honestly, I would steal his answer because I do love me some Taco Bell if we're talking fast food. But if we're not, if I'm just talking my favorite meal, like if I was on death row meal, would be Benihana.
Interesting.
I love Benihana.
Now, would you want like the chef to come to your cell and do like the whole thing?
If it's, that's an option,
some shrimp,
absolutely.
Like, throw shrimp through your handcuffs and back onto the grill and stuff
He's got to make the little onion mountain that you know.
Like, cooks
the volcano.
One in the electric chair and
go, choo choo choo.
Yeah, exactly.
Flips in his hat.
Yeah.
He's got to do the whole shebang.
All right.
Yeah, I think it would be Benihana for sure.
Ooh, Jimbo,
bring me Chick-fil-A.
I knew it. Chick-fil-A, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yep. I have no doubt about it. Chicken Nirvana. If I was on death row,
Would it be different?
I would want Chick-fil-A, but if I'm talking like a fancier meal,
right?
I'd probably go prime rib and lobster tail.
Okay, that's
gotta have a good creamed horseradish with it, though. I judge you on your horseradish.
You're so fancy pants when you're about to die.
Yeah, well, you know, when you gotta go in style.
Go out with class, I guess, right?
Oh, for me, it would just have to be deep dish pizza.
Really?
Chicago style deep dish pizza. Now, as far as brand wise,
best pizza, best baseball team.
Yes, I'm trying to think though. I mean, let's see, Zachary's.
Oakley. So Chicago style, what place? Like, is there a specific place?
Well, see, okay, here in the Bay Area, I love going to Zachary's. There's a couple locations. I go to the one on the Oakland-Berkeley border, right on College Avenue.
Okay.
Not too far from the campus. That one, I love the all meat. But if I had a chance to get something from actually like Chicago. I know a lot of people like Lou Malnati.
I'm not a fan of Lou Malnati.
Uno. Do you like Uno's?
But see, Tanelli and I don't know if you know this.
Is that the place other place we went?
Well, Tanelli and I went to
Pizzeria Uno?
I think it might be that one. We went there on a separate night by ourselves.
Okay.
I think everyone else was gone already. I forgot what happened, but just the two of us walking around.
Yeah.
I think it might have been Uno's. I think. Because I know, like, Chicago, isn't there, like, a big three?
I think so.
Oh, no.
The pizza trifecta.
Oh, I'm now getting confused. Maybe not Uno's. I think Uno's where we went with Dennis Hoff 2 years ago. So I'm now losing.
Is that good? Have you been to Uno's?
Yeah, I like Uno's.
Okay.
A lot.
Maybe that's the one I'm next time.
I love deep dish pizza.
Would be it for you.
That would be for me. So I would definitely go with that. So
that's easy.
Yes, absolutely.
We can make that happen.
So,
death row for you.
Mm-hmm. You can kill.
Then again, I would maybe just for fun, just eat a bunch of garbage that, you know, when your body.
It wouldn't matter.
Just punish everyone else in the room.
Just eat a lot of garlics when you pass. It's just like, that's what Tinelli would eat.
Yes, exactly. Another story that I just made me shake my head, but it also was funny. So this past week, the House of Representatives were discussing a bill to get this, raise the age, the minimum age for strippers in Louisiana to 21 years old. Which is interesting, just because I think most strip clubs, 18 is fine.
Yeah, I think so.
But during that discussion, so the state rep from Louisiana, a guy by the name of Kenneth Havard, so it's almost like spelled like Harvard without the extra R, Havard. So Havard, he proposed an amendment to the bill that would make it against the law for strippers to be older than 28 years old.
And they have a 7-year window there, is
exactly,
that what they're saying?
7 years to make your money.
Wow.
And weigh more, you cannot weigh more than 160 pounds.
Wow.
So, as you can imagine, it pissed
there goes
off.
That career option.
It pissed off a ton of his colleagues. And so, of course, he pulled back his suggestion. And the state house unanimously approved the bill to raise the age to 21. And it's going to go to the governor's desk that they're going to wait for his signature. So, the guy, the rep, said it was a joke and he thought the amendment. However, but even though it was a joke, he did file it and it was available on their website. So it's kind of, I don't know, maybe he's just backtracking. Oh, I'm just joking. But the fact it was publicly out there.
That's hilarious.
So on that note, if the government were to set up an age and weight restriction on strippers, what should it be?
Jimbo.
I know you think a man is going to answer this question with a woman in the room?
I think
you gotta get up pretty early in the morning, Chasta. I'm not taking the bait on that one.
Well, this is probably one of the reasons I'm on the other guy's podcast, because yes. I think might fall on the side of guys. I actually kind of agree with this. Yeah. Nobody wants to look at, like, I mean, look, I realize some girls are gonna get pissed right now, but if I'm a guy or a lesbian, no judgment here. And I'm paying to go see a girl dance, she needs to look hot to earn my money. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, if that's what you're going to do. Now, if you're into girls who are bigger, then maybe that's what you want. I do have to say the only problem with that story is 160 pounds, for guys who don't know, for females, that's actually not that much weight.
Zero frame of reference.
Yeah,
probably.
Okay. Yeah. So that's actually not like a lot of weight. If you're a tall girl, even with a bigger frame that's like in super rad shape, especially if you're a runner, you have muscle, 160 pounds is not a ton of weight. So he should rethink that, but
maybe it should be a proportion thing for him.
Everybody has their own flavor.
I don't like the regulation. You know, I'm a small government kind of guy. I don't like the Fed stepping in and trying to tell proprietors of their own businesses how to run their business.
Team Cat.
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Perhaps the proprietor of whatever strip club has a clientele that does like, you know, larger ladies.
Right.
You know, I think the people that run the clubs probably hire the best people that come through their doors
you
to
would
apply.
Think, right. I mean,
and,
although maybe you need one token big girl for those people who like big girls. I don't know.
So this is, man.
You're not going to step in it with me.
You know,
I see both sides of it.
Okay, well, Jimbo, so do you think there should be an age restriction?
If people want to put MSG in my food and it makes it taste better, God bless them. You know, just tell me ahead of time. Whatever, I'll roll those dice.
So do you think...
So an age restriction then?
Yeah, I do. And this is because...
You're not into MILFs.
Well, no. You mean an upper age limit?
Yeah.
No upper age limit. So no cutoff?
No cutoff.
No, whatever.
Like
if you're a hot great grandmother, good for you.
I love it. He is non-discriminatory.
But, I mean, then again, I'm not really the clientele. I don't particularly find myself in those establishments very often when I can help it. But I will say that I like the raising age to 21.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Just to make you feel less dirty?
And I think actually that might churn some people off that do like the younger variety.
Right,
but I think because even though you're an adult at 18 mm-hmm. and you can do a lot of things at 18, I think there's a predatory nature to the industry. And so I think if I think if you wait till you're 21, you've been out of your if you're making that decision to be a stripper at 18, you're probably already out of your parents' house. You're probably a little bit more desperate for money and think, wow, what a great way to make a living. I don't think you're fully there yet to maybe make that decision without having maybe some regret later on. So I think you're 21. You've been out of the house for a few years. Yeah. You can drink. You can strip.
Okay. I think that's actually a good point. And they say your brain doesn't fully develop until you're 24. So at least when making these, isn't that crazy? So in making these decisions, at least you're a little bit closer to making a full-headed, conscious decision of this is what I want to do, like we were saying, without regret.
Interesting. Okay.
It, stuff like that does follow you, whether you like it or not.
And that being said, I think they should lower the drinking age to 18. Because if you can serve in the military at 18, you should be able to have a few belts legally.
I've always believed that.
Well, for me, as a man in my younger days who did attend quite a few strip clubs.
The strip club connoisseur.
Mostly because at our old building, there's multiple factors. Yeah. In our old building in San Francisco, we were right across the street from the Gold Club.
Oh, yeah.
They did have an amazing $5 buffet every Friday. But also the other thing, quite a few of the girls that worked there were competing in our old Bone Rock Girl competition.
Oh, right.
So I got to know quite a few of them and actually would go hang out over there with them. And it was actually kind of cool because they would let me come in, hang out, but they said, tell the other shippers, don't hustle him. He's with us.
Oh, nice.
So I actually got to learn quite a few things. So just actually what Jimbo, what you're just talking about, that could be, I think, a bigger discussion down the road about stripper etiquette and life and all that stuff.
Well, but I used to love playing Is She a Stripper when I would walk to work at the old building.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, you knew right away. They had a big gym bag.
They got a bag. There's some that could walk the line, you know, like so.
But it was like 10:30 in the morning coming from Bart with the big gym bag.
Oh, yeah.
They were a stripper.
Oh, for sure.
Because they open at 11 or 11:30.
For sure.
So they got to get prepared.
This is hilarious. I didn't even know this was a thing at our old building.
You used to stand in the kitchen in the old building and just you can look.
Oh,
I see. I never did that. It was just on my walk up from Muni.
We had an old boss that had binoculars.
Oh, my God. Straight creeper style.
I can't believe it. I don't want to say which one. We've had multiple bosses over the years. So.
Yeah, we have.
But we used to
think I know which one you're probably talking about, but go ahead.
So we would look out the window. And then even there was a building across the street with there was a couple in there, and the girl would walk around naked. and then sales guys, when I used to have the old Huey cam, they used to make me like use the camera to look outside and zoom in.
Oh my God.
We had some fun back then. Anyway, like I said, we can have a whole shipper talk life, all that stuff down the road. But so with that though, I noticed when I used to sit in there, honestly, the older strippers were fun to talk to. They were a little more easy.
When you say older, give me an age range.
In their 30s. There were some.
I would assume for a stripper, that would be kind of older. That's no judgment, but for like a model, if you're in your 30s and you're modeling still, that's great. Good for you, because that's kind of older.
And it's actually surprising some of the older ones, like in their 40s, actually transitioned to like day managers or night managers. Oh, okay. So they were the ones who would check off how many lap dances the girls get and stuff. So
I'm so lacking in my strip club.
I know quite a bit now. You're just like opening up all this stuff I used to remember.
The business side of it.
But so the ones in their 30s who were a little bit older, they were actually a little more approachable and easier to talk to.
When it comes to stripping and doing their job, were they still like hot?
They gotta make sure they do their stretches.
Yeah.
Some of them still hold up. I mean, but it goes back. I mean, what if you're a guy who does like the MILF type, the cougar type?
What if you like an overweight woman
in their 30s, though?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, really?
No. Wow. 50s, right? You don't have to be like, I would say late 40s,
like
or early
divorced.
50s. Yeah. I mean, if you've got an overweight girl who's 51 and that's your thing, then maybe we shouldn't judge.
I think going back to Forrest Gump, life's a box of chocolates. You never know what you get. So, I mean, when you go in a strip club, it's nice having options there. I think the older ones are more fun to talk to and hang out with. I think the younger ones haven't experienced life as much. So having a conversation with them before your lap dance, I like to make it intimate, get to know them.
Conversation in strip clubs. Like, this is a whole new thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, we could talk a whole bunch about it.
We need to like have this topic later.
I'm all for
it. I have so many questions.
Yeah, I'm for any type of girl that can work the strip club.
Yeah.
So on that note, like we always do, I always post these on Facebook and Twitter, the stories, so you can read up on them and just beat informed as well. So, Jasta, as always, let's jump into the Holy Crap Report, which is always our great rock entertainment news segment.
Yes, sir.
A lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we can roll through these. I mean, okay. they're big stories you may have heard about a little here and there. So, Guns N' Roses news, which we have an update, it seems like, every week now.
Yeah.
At least. So, it came out that Slash and Duff McKagan really wanted to get Matt Sorum back in Guns N' Roses. Now, whenever I saw this, you know, when we saw that Guns N' Roses was coming back in general, I kind of thought they might pick Matt because he's a great drummer.
Yes.
And although I love Steven Adler and all, he's not exactly...
stable.
You're right. He's not stable. He's not your safest bet. So I assumed, even though he's the original drummer, people forget about him. Matt Sorum was not original. But it turns out that they weren't able to pull it off. So that begs the question in my world... Did Axl himself axe it? Is he like the CEO of Guns N' Roses and what he says goes? Hopefully. Jimbo says hopefully.
Yep.
I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I think, if I notice correctly, the guy playing drums for him right now has been the guy who's been in the band for...
He's been with Axl's Guns N' Roses for a long time.
Yeah, so I think Axl's being loyal to his right-hand man. Yeah, right. So I think, and who knows, maybe it's cheaper... Or it would cost more because it divided up.
Right.
Because Matt Sorum has a bigger name, a presence in the band. So I'm sure he would demand more money.
Yeah.
I think in this guy who's currently drumming probably gets a lesser a payday. So I'm sure between Axl, Slash, and Duff, those three take a big chunk of the money. If you add like another fourth big name, that's got to divide
it's a very valid point.
I
and
think
it's not
so.
Like Matt is hurting. I mean, he's playing with Hollywood Vampires right now.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is Johnny Depp and Alice Cooper and Joe Perry. So he's fine. He's doing his own thing. So I think it worked out.
I'm just bummed. I would love to either have Steven Adler or Matt Sorum. I know Steven Adler was an original, and it would be nice to actually see him playing these old original songs of theirs. But Matt Sorum, I think he's the more reliable one.
Yeah.
And he was there during their big
when they really peaked,
in the late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
He was part of that lineup. So definitely he... is an amazing part of the band as well. So I'm bummed I didn't do it. I mean, I just think if we're going to see Guns N' Roses, I want every band member to be a name that I recognize.
I know. I feel the same way too. Yeah. Speaking of GNR, opening bands came out this week. Alice in Chains, which I assumed would happen because they did the Vegas shows.
Yeah.
So you would think since they killed it there that they would just keep them on board. But they also added Lenny Kravitz. So it'll be Lenny Kravitz, Alice in Chains, and Guns N' Roses.
Which I'm
he keeps
excited.
His wang in his pants this
I know.
Time, though.
Right?
No, Jimbo wants a front row seat.
Hopefully not. I don't know. Have you guys ever seen Lenny Kravitz live? I think you said
I
you
have.
Had.
I saw him open for Aerosmith at Oracle Arena.
Yeah.
So that was fun. But he was amazing. The way he had the lights go on and off, and he walk around the stage and in the crowd.
He goes out into the crowd in the arena and walks around. He plays all the instruments. Like, he's so talented.
Yeah. So I think this is turning into like a little mini rock festival at AT&T Park on August 9th. Lenny Kravitz, Alice Chains, Guns N' Roses. So, yeah, it's going to be a real amazing show. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. That tour, Not In This Lifetime tour, I love that name, kicks off June 23rd in Detroit. But more importantly, we'll be here in the Bay in August.
Oh, yeah.
Also, AC/DC drummer Chris Slade saying the band will not retire at the end of their current tour.
Mm.
That they are going to continue on. Nobody plans on retiring. Now, in the article that came out, he's super vague about whether Axl will be sticking with AC/DC. Like, they say basically Axl should be respected right now from the fans.
Oh, absolutely.
For what he's doing and blah, blah, blah. But he never really, like, confirms or denies anything.
Mm.
I know.
I think AC/DC at large stinks right now for what they're doing. And that hurts for me to say because they are my favorite classic rock band.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard the Jim Brewer song that he did? I know you heard it with Brian Johnson this week.
I'll have to play
really
it for you.
It is really good.
Like, Brian sounds great.
Oh, he sounds awesome.
Brian
I mean,
is awesome.
I know he's in the studio, you know, he's not live and all that, but it sounds like he's singing just fine.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can hear himself, but that's
poor
beside
guy.
The point.
Well, but I don't know if you saw this other story that came out last week or a week and a half ago. There's this guy who makes custom earplugs.
Yeah, in-ears.
And he, with his new technology, he can help Brian Johnson get back on stage. And he really wants to help Brian Johnson get back in the band. And then a follow-up report came out that Brian Johnson was actually going to meet with him. So I don't know where the latest is with that. But if all goes well, I would imagine if Brian Johnson can sing and play loud music and it won't affect his hearing anymore because of these new
implants.
They're called in-ears.
In-ears.
Yeah.
I would think if AC/DC and Angus Young was smart, they would just bring back Brian Johnson.
You know, it'd be badass if they didn't announce it and it happened like mid-show.
He just
and
came
like
out.
He kind of tags in with, right. with Axel. That would be freaking insane.
He tags in. That would tags be yeah. that would be pretty epic.
That would be cool. So I hope if AC/DC continues on, I think it's great. But if there's a way to get Brian Johnson back in the fold,
you think it's great if they continue on? Without even stopping for their fallen warrior.
Fallen warrior.
You know what would be great is if they like took a minute to maybe like have some sympathy for the guy that helped carry the band after the death of Bon Scott. And then, you know, maybe on the VH1 special, it's like, you know, and Brian was like, go out there and rock and roll. And then we did it and it was really inspiring. And it's like we were playing for Brian instead of like giving him a massive middle finger shaped like a guitar.
You should be a movie writer because that would be really good. That's the way this should have played out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But I just say
that's the behind the music I watch.
That's true. But if AC/DC can continue on and get Brian back in the fold, I'm all for that because I had so much fun seeing them last year.
You amended your statement there.
Yeah. Maybe you got to him a little bit.
I'm backtracking.
A couple more headlines just real fast. Black Sabbath, they're deciding whether their final show will take place or not. This whole Ozzy Osbourne, Sharon drama seems so played out to me.
Exactly.
I just don't really...
It's a ploy by MTV to get the Osbournes back on TV.
Well, I mean, that could be part of it. There's so many things. As you mentioned yesterday,
we had a lot of conspiracy theories.
There's a roster of crap going on with Ozzy and Sharon and even his kid that he's got a new show coming out with. Like, there's all this stuff that would require PR.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, their marriage is falling apart.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's funny. Yeah, like, they announced that he had an affair, but then all of a sudden, the next day, Ozfest / Not Fest got announced, and then Ozzy and Jackie having the History Channel show, and she was on her show, The Talk, talking about this incident. So I'm sure they got big ratings. Yeah. So all this going on within less than 2 weeks seems really fishy to me.
It does seem fishy. You know, when you work in the industry, you kind of sniff things out like this.
But as far as where Black Sabbath should play, I mean, I think their final show should be maybe in their hometown.
Their hometown, and that was kind of what the article referenced. I mean, I think that would be
if
really
Motley
cool.
Crue does in L.A., they should do it in...
Where they were formed.
Yeah,
you know, kind of exactly. Come full circle after all this time.
Exactly.
So. And then if you're a Rage Against the Machine fan, as we are, we grew up with Rage, they have launched kind of a new cryptic, weird website, and we don't really know what it means, but it's called prophetsofrage.com, # take the power back, and it's just a logo... And it's a countdown. It says 1 week, 3 days. It's basically down to June 1st. So we don't really know. And then the logo has been popping up all over Los Angeles, that same logo that's on
like
the website.
Like guerrilla marketing kind of deal?
It is totally guerrilla marketing. Mm. So we don't really know what that means, but I guess come June 1st, we'll find out.
The reason I really was interested in this story is just because I grew up, my friends specifically all were huge Rage fans. And so I naturally listened to them. Because of my friends.
Because of your friends.
And so I just know my friends will be super excited to see them perform again.
Yeah, which would be great.
Make a reunion. So I hopefully that means a reunion, but maybe they have a new single.
Maybe Prophets of Rage is a totally different supergroup kind
of
band. Who
exactly.
knows?
Exactly. Who knows? But fingers crossed it's something huge. But of course, we'll here at The Bone, we'll announce it, whatever that is.
We'll
so,
let you know.
Yeah, so thank you, Chasta, for checking in with all of your... The latest rock news.
And Axel, which is good to see.
I know, of course.
last thing is, we haven't done it too much lately, but the emails, I really like reading the emails from the listeners. And yesterday, I put this out on social media. For anyone who wants to email us and have anything on their mind, question, comment, shout out, and just anyone listening, you can email us anytime, otherguyspodcast@gmail.com. And Chas, I got a couple here that were really interesting, and they're actually more... I guess you would say advice questions. Like they asked us for help in a way, which I was kind of taken back.
Kind of surprised by.
Exactly. So I was kind of thinking maybe we could be kind of our own little therapist to our growing massive listening audience, especially Jimbo. I know Jimbo.
I've watched a lot of Frasier.
So
I'm ready. I've trained my whole life for this day.
So I don't know what to call this. Chasta, you and I were bouncing off name ideas. So maybe... Sitting on the other guy's couch or sitting...
I like sitting on the couch with the other guys.
Sitting on the couch with the other guys.
I think we pull out the couch for this one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, anytime if you're a listener out there and you have something going on... And you
trust our judgment.
Exactly.
What if it could be the other couch.
The other couch.
Or something, you know, just kind of... I don't know. Just
up,
yeah, just shorten it, you know, streamline
title.
A little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally game for that. So, so this first email I got is from Pamela in San Mateo, and she wrote...
Hi, Pam.
Hey, dirty hitting on you. Watch out.
Hey, other guys.
Later.
Big fan of you guys. So, thank you, Pam, for listening. I think we're number one in San Mateo. In our listening audience. But so she wrote, So my boyfriend ended our relationship 3 weeks ago. Sorry, Pam.
Good news for
yeah,
you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, terrible news, Pam.
So he's seen someone else, and I since found out he was seeing her before he broke it off with me.
Oh, shame, shame.
Bastard.
Yep.
But anyway, since then, he texted me twice to ask how I am. I didn't reply to either text, find it all very painful and struggling to move on from it. What should I do if he texts again? Any advice would be much appreciated. So, wow, we got a guy who was basically cheating on her. And then since they broke it off, he's been checking in on her, though. And so, yeah, she's wondering what to do.
That tells me that the girl he cheated with is not working out, and he's trying to work his way back into his safe place.
Interesting.
What I would tell you, Pamela, is I would absolutely respond just to make sure that he knows you're aware of the situation, that you know he's a scumbag. You don't have to be super mean, but just let him know. And then move on and just be done with it.
I agree. I think communication is key.
Yeah.
Especially, and even
he
in texting form.
He didn't pull a fast one on you. You know what's going on. And you're in control of the situation. Take back the ball, let him know, and move on.
Yeah, I think so.
Not his balls.
Not his balls.
No.
Well, just the ball.
Yeah.
Just the one ball.
But Jimbo.
You keep that as a souvenir.
Yeah, exactly. Pickle it in a jar.
Jimbo, your thoughts?
I think you should respond. I would do something, again, like Chasta said, not too mean, just short and sweet. Be like, hey, I know what was going on. I know you cheated on me. I'm moving on. Lose my number.
Yeah, exactly.
And leave it at that.
Okay. I totally agree with both you guys.
Pamela, we're behind you.
Yeah, I'm not the...
Hopefully.
Yeah. You know where to find Jimbo.
Exactly. I love you guys' perspective, and I totally agree. I think, just lay it out there that you acknowledge you got his text, but, hey, you're moving on. And that would make him feel bad for just... doing what he did in the first place.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and as far as, and then after that, just put his number on ignore. If you have, the iPhone, you can put the little disregard thing on there. And then, just be done with out of sight, out of mind. Program his name in your phone. What I did with some undesirables I didn't want to get drunk and reach out to is I list their name as do not call and then their name.
Good. That's
so,
a good
one.
Interesting. So. Okay.
Smart.
Good job, Jimbo.
That's from experience.
Pro tip for you.
Yeah.
We have another one here from Damien in Hayward. And thank you, Damien, for emailing us. I think we're also number one in Hayward now in podcast
listening.
You have
a birthmark, Damien?
He says,
always ask.
What's up, other guys? Love the podcast and everything you've been doing. Very entertaining, especially your Civil War review. So thank you for listening. I've been single for over a year now, and within the last couple of months, been trying online dating. I have question/observation for you guys. He noticed that if you meet people online, at least this is how he found it, you text each other. So I guess when he met someone online, they just start a text conversation first. You never call, or rather, there's a kind of dual standard, you can call... She can call you, and she may do if she's drunk or feeling playful. However, if you did the same thing, you'd be, quote, invasive, creepy, or even rapey.
Rapey, good Lord.
Yeah, that's his words. Wow, strong words from
him. Ghost dad.
Yeah. Sorry, I snorted.
He added, had a little early 90s Cosby reference.
I used to watch that at HBO.
It's my favorite Cosby movie.
Yeah,
sorry.
He added... Yeah, possibly best to stick to texting then. Any of you guys deal with this before? If I have ever asked a girl if I may call her, the conversation has been very awkward silence. And then all the tumbleweeds, more than the tumbleweeds ever at a tumbleweed convention held in a library in the middle of a desert at night. Maybe I should quit online dating. So, okay, I get what he's saying. I guess he's met girls online and... He always ends up just starting with a text conversation, but he always felt weird to ask to call them. I guess they always, sounds like here when he's trying calling them on the phone, it always ends up being just very awkward phone conversation. So I don't know, Jimbo, your thoughts on this whole thing?
Damien, where have you been? I rarely, if I call my closest friends, it's an emergency. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. In fact, I think as a society, the text app generation, I think it's going to lead to the downfall of us all. But that's a whole different conspiracy theory for another
our
time.
Communication
We're not looking people in the eye. We're losing everything.
Yeah.
But people in general don't call one another.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you have some really awesome friends and you guys still talk on the phone. I don't. I am
text everything.
I almost exclusively text.
Okay.
And just as a quick
and
funny little story.
He doesn't text back very often, by the way.
And sometimes at that. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
if you text me early in the morning, asleep, Jimbo will read it,
yes,
make a note of it, and then
the
forget
thing.
Of it.
I'm totally giving you crap because I did the same exact thing.
You know, just a quick story. I called Steve Mariucci one time to try and get him on with Ted Raimi, and I think he was shocked out of his gourd that somebody called his phone. So it's,
really?
I mean, we're living in a text-based society,
okay,
right now. We're like, and with the emojis, we're like devolving back into hieroglyphics. So like we're getting less like, yes, exactly. We are. We're degenerating at a rapid rate. So I would not be so nonplussed by the lack of calling deal.
Yeah. So he shouldn't be surprised that people don't want to talk on the phone.
No.
Okay.
Don't take it personally.
Yeah, I don't want to talk on the phone anymore.
I wish, this is why I kind of wish
I
Joe.
I used to love it.
Yeah.
Well, this is why I wish Joe was here, because I know he's tried Tinder and some other stuff.
Well.
And so I'm curious what his experience has been. Has he ever called anyone?
I'll put it out there. I'm on Tinder. Ladies, get at me. Swipe right, super like, whatever's your pleasure. but no, I don't talk to them on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, what will you talk about? You're just getting to, you don't have enough, like, at least in my experience, like, unless you're like seeing them enough to even really discuss on the phone, like what you should be doing, Damien, is meeting up with them, talking to them face to face. The purpose of this is not to find a way of verbally communicating from afar, but to do it face to face. So mm-hmm. it's not about calling them or even afterward,
yeah,
you know? So unless you're already like hooked up with them, you know, and like that's your gig moving forward, I don't think you really have that much to talk about on the phone anyway.
Okay.
I am so out of my element right now,
because
I've never online dated, but I do have to
say,
it's a
terrible, scary place.
I mean, yeah. But the one thing that I thought, like with Jay and I, because when we met in Los Angeles 10 years ago, he lived here. So we had no choice but to talk on the phone. So I feel like talking on the phone is now like as old as, you know, the generations before us that wrote letters to one another. Like that was dead and gone.
Yeah, that's a weird
thing.
And
now the phone calls are like the letters. That's dead and gone too. I mean, Jay and I would talk for hours on end because we didn't have another option.
Yeah, I've done long distance relationships too. And the phone was exactly
relationship. What worries me about social networking and app dating is that do you build that really solid depth
foundation
anymore? You know, before you really get into a relationship.
Like
Jay and I knew each other really well 6 months before we ever really hung out.
Well, now I look back, I've tried online dating, app dating, and I realized, I did all my stuff via text, my conversation via text, and then we would meet in person. And
I feel like that sets it up to be awkward.
It does. Yeah. I've had some bad texters, let me tell you. Some really bad ones.
Really bad
that, like, make me think they're like a sociopath or they don't get my jokes. And it's like, she's asking me if I like BJ's, like the restaurants. Like, I really want to make a joke right now, but you're such like
and
a dullard when
me.
It comes to texting. It's like, I can't make this joke. It's like, this is terrible.
See? Awkward. Yeah.
But the more I think about it, I realize it's kind of like this big wild card. You meet someone via text and you don't know if it's really them on the other end of the phone.
You could be getting catfish.
It's true, yeah.
Exactly.
I don't like having a paper trail.
Yeah.
Yes. That is true. Oh man, the more I think about it. But to answer Damien's question, don't feel offended or by all means feel weird when you're trying to make a phone call. But because just keep in mind, I think we're all in this texting world
now. I think Jimbo had a very valid point. Nobody really calls anymore. It's not just you.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a good thing. I think we are losing our ability to communicate as a society as a whole.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it is the nature of the beast, maybe the mark of the beast that you have on your head there, Damien. But even as much as I hate this phrase, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
So, Damien, keep up. Good luck with your online dating, but just focus on texting for now. Let us know if you meet anyone special.
Yeah.
So on that note, let's go ahead and wrap things up. I'm sorry, Jimbo. I realize we have a new feature we want to do with you, but maybe
speaking of Tinder, we'll bring it up on the next one.
Yeah, a little tease. We just dropped it in here.
Okay.
Like I've admitted to the world in my great shame that I am on Tinder. Swipe right, ladies. So, yeah, we can do it next week.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
No, no, no.
I realized just
no,
time. And
Yeah, no,
okay.
We got carried away.
Okay, but we save it for next time.
I wouldn't trade these minutes for anything, Huey.
Okay, thank you. So, but on that note, Jimbo has a great new feature that he's working on, and we'll save it for the next episode.
Yep.
And hopefully, yeah, we'll have Joe here and maybe some, I know some interns here want to shadow how we do this podcast. That's pretty amazing. I think we're inspiring people to come watch us do our thing.
That is pretty damn amazing. Cool.
So on that note, though, let's go ahead and wrap things up for this week's episode of The Other Guys Podcast. As always, plug, promote ourselves. Chasta, anything you want to plug, promote?
Well, we are officially on Baby Watch because yes. I'm within my realm of could go into birth at any time. I'm only 5 weeks away now, so... Wow. I know, it's crazy. It's crazy. So if you see some stuff going down on my social media, it'll be fun. So on Instagram, I'm at Chasta Lynn. Twitter is at Chasta. And Facebook, Chasta Radio. And I'm not going to be one of those people that doesn't post anything. I might even do like a hospital bed selfie. We'll see.
Okay. Good for you.
Not of anything below my neck.
Of course. No crowning selfie or anything like that.
No crowning selfie, no.
No Facebook Live.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I'm not giving the birth live on Facebook.
Oh, boy. You don't want Periscope it?
No, sir.
And Jimbo, anything for you?
Yeah. And this is it's not necessarily something like for my social media or anything like that, but I know we hadn't recorded an episode with everyone in a while, but we went to Chasta's baby shower a few weeks ago.
Yes, you guys are so cute.
And I just, I thought it was beautiful. Aww. And I think you are such, like, you know, we work here at the radio station. There are some people that, you know, come into work with an attitude and everything like that. And mm-hmm. You come in with this beautiful, wonderful, positive attitude.
I'm going to cry.
And to see, like, you know, all the light that you bring into this workplace reflected back on you from all these people that care about you and Jay and just how special you two are. It was really touching to see.
I'm trying not to cry, but it
was fun.
It was really special. And I think you should be so proud of all the impact you've made in other people's lives and how great, like you said, it takes a village. And you have this beautiful village to welcome Cody into the world.
You know what I call you guys? And you guys are going to be uncles. My tribe. That's my tribe. You know, like, and I think your vibe attracts your tribe. And so I think you put out good stuff and you get good back. And that shower really felt that way.
Yeah.
And it meant so much that you guys were there. And I know you went through hell and water, high water to get there because it was a lot.
I'm sorry.
It was a lot of drama to get to there.
I do have something to add to that, though. because Huey was 2.5 hours late.
No. Yeah.
Because of that. So I was like, well, I didn't have time to go out and get a card. So I'm going to sign my name to this card. And because of that, I got Bogarted into the gift. Which is not, that was all Huey.
Your thank you card right here.
Well, so but my actual gift is because I love, you know, nerdy stuff. And one of the things I remember from when I was a kid is, you know, my parents reading to me.
Oh, yeah.
So for Cody, I've ordered The Little Prince, which is one of my favorite children's books, and The Lord of the Rings. So whenever he's... So they say to, you know, read early, even if they can't understand, you know, because it'll help with their vocabulary and development, everything like that. But whenever he is ready, so those will be at your disposal
That's amazing.
So, that is awesome.
Thank you, guys.
I thought you were going to give her Little Jimbo.
I do have a little of a 3D.
You have not seen this?
I'll bring it in next week. We'll tease it for next week.
Don't show her a picture.
Don't show me.
Okay. We'll talk about it next week.
That's funny. He surprised me the other day with this.
Really?
So that's another teaser. So next episode, all Jimbo. All Jimbo. Yeah. So, but yeah, no, thank you again, Chasta.
Thank you guys for being
you and Jay and Gianna, and it's great seeing your mom there and everyone there. So it was a lot of fun. Jay's side of the family as
you
well.
You guys are like brothers to me, so it means a lot that you were there.
And great peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yes.
Goldfish and the PB&J.
I didn't realize we were eating from the kids' table.
But neither.
But the veggie sandwiches were really good. I liked the spice in them, and it was a fun day. It was a very fun day. And yeah, I'm Baby Huey, so please follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/BabyHueyOfficial, Twitter and Instagram at BabyHuey83. And as always, 1077thebone.com for all our previous episodes. Please listen to our awesome review, our spoiler review of Captain America: Civil War, which is 2 weekends in a row, number one movie in the world.
And saw it again last night.
You did?
Yep.
Your second time?
Yep.
Awesome. And then, speaking of which, this Wednesday is going to be the season finale of Arrow. So go back, listen to our interview with David Ramsey from that show. That's also on the Bone website. And, of course, our interview with Shinedown and Five Finger Death Punch. And on that note, have an awesome weekend. Also, subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, all that good stuff on the Bone website. And have a great weekend. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Other Guys Podcast. Be sure to follow The Other Guys on all their social media pages. Facebook.com/The Other Guys Podcast. Instagram @The Other Guys Podcast.
and Twitter at TOG Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. And of course, check back to 1077thebone.com for new and previous episodes of The Other Guys Podcast.
Party on, dude!